Krishna and Balaram played with their counter boyfriends by whirling about, leaping, hurling, slapping, and fighting. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would pull the hair on the boys' heads. The Acharyas have explained this verse as follows. The word Brahmana indicates that the boys, pretending they were machines, would sometimes whirl about until they became dizzy. They would also sometimes jump about, langanai. The word chepai indicates that sometimes they would hurl objects like balls or stones, and that sometimes they would grab each other by the arms and throw one another about. Ashpotana means sometimes they would slap one another's shoulders or backs. In Vikarshana indicates that they would drag one another about in the midst of their play. By the word Niyudhena, arm wrestling and other types of friendly fighting are indicated, and the word Kaka Pokshudhava means that Krishna and Balaram would sometimes grab the hair from the other boys' heads in a playful manner. Yanam Juna Shalakai Shakshurum Militam Yei So these are pretty ecstatic pastimes. There are so enlivening demigods who have so many types of powers to enjoy this material world. Found them more interesting than playing the role of being demigod. They came down disguised as cowherd boys and joined the fun. Instead of trying to enjoy the material world, they wanted to enjoy Krishna consciousness. I remember Prabhupada wrote one sannyasi. That time he was brahmachari. They were doing the traveling and preaching. And under very cold, rather austere situation, just preaching, distributing books and preaching. Living in some kirtan land. And Prabhupada was explaining to him that actually the whole world, if you dedicate yourself like this, the whole world becomes a playground. So that is actually the position. If we take up this spiritual revolution that Srila Prabhupada has given, we take that as our life's mission. Yes, we must do everything possible to revolutionize this planet. You see, everything possible. I was actually amazed that then the world will become like a playground for them. I was amazed this morning, I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada explained that one can relieve people from the threefold miseries, and of course we have the formula for doing that, Prabhupada's books. We have the formula, Prasadam, deity worship, kirtan, Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada said, such a person can aspire to rule the world. It's an amazing statement. So, we have a wonderful opportunity. The ISKCON is actually the leading educational institution on this planet. Not Harvard, not Oxford, not Yale, not Cambridge. ISKCON is actually the leading education institution. So we are all meant to become professors in this ISKCON educational institution. Professors can guide everyone, the whole world population, how to become happy, how to become joyful, how to taste the real nectar of existence. They are currently living in this day, asa, virtual non-existence, because they are identifying with that which, but they are not, this material body. And therefore they cannot be happy. In spite of all arrangements, all facility, you know, air conditioning, 747s, microchips, all facilities are there, but people are so miserable. We just heard a statistic the other day, that the Australia has in the world, the teenagers in Australia are the number three in teen suicides. In spite of so much facility. In fact, the other day I had to get my computer repaired. So I had some contractor that come out in on-site service. So one representative, young Australian man from Dell Computers, he came out. And I tried smiling at him, with some light conversation, and just like, nothing. He couldn't reciprocate a smile, even. I was thinking, my goodness, what is the present condition of the people? They can't even smile. You can't even smile back at someone. He's sitting there, we're sitting there for 15 minutes, you know. The living room of my student's house was sitting there and he's talking and he just wouldn't open up at all. He was just like a machine. course, the cowherd boys were also doing that here. They were whirling about like machines, but it wasn't the same. That's an interesting point. I was going, machines? 5,000 years ago? They were whirling, yes, we do believe in machines. But not so much. Whatever machines they had in those days, they were very, very amazing machines. It's like, what was his name? Jalva had that airplane. So it's not that they didn't have machines then, but they weren't so interested in machines like we are now. Now we are living in the machine age. I remember when I was a spiritual seeker back in the late 60s, I heard one song. It was called The Machine. The machine keeps by on working, and I become a slave of the machine. That was the whole theme of the song. The machine, choo, 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 choo. The machine just goes on working, but I become a slave of the machine. So that's Kali Yuga. That's the reality. You see, we made these big, big machines. Yes, the computer will solve all the problems, but now we become slaves of the computer. Slaves of the automobile. Slaves of this machine, that machine. So the greatest adventure, the greatest, the most joyous life is to take part in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those pastimes are available right now. ISKCON is a pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why he has come to Melbourne. Because this movement is Leela. That's why he's come. He's participating. Actively participating. Actually, that is the position of Krishna. That he is the supreme enjoyer. But he notices some unusual thing. That I am the supreme enjoyer. But this Srimati Radharani, what is this? She's enjoying more than me. How is that possible? That Radharani can enjoy more than me. So he thinks, no, I also want to taste that nectar that Radharani is tasting. So I will become bhakta. So Krishna, he becomes bhakta Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna decides to become a Hare Krishna devotee. Nitai Gaur, chanting and dancing all over India. And empowering his dearmost devotee, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Pridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, to take this sublime Sankirtan movement and fulfill that prediction given in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Pritti vitti acha yatra nagaradigram sarvatra prachar hoibe maranam. And that as many towns and villages as there are throughout the entire world, this Krishna conscious movement will be spread. So, Srila Prabhupada was chosen by Lord Chaitanya to be that special, special, special devotee. Out of millions of bhaktas, actually an infinity of bhaktas in the spiritual world, there was one particular devotee who was chosen to do what even Lord Chaitanya personally did not do, to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, by taking up this activity, assisting Srila Prabhupada, fully dedicating every thought, every word, every deed, in every time, in every place, in every situation, then we will be, the whole world will become like a playground. So many opportunities to preach Krishna consciousness, to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, to distribute Prasadam, to distribute the holy names, to inspire people to become Krishna conscious. have just disguised themselves as members of the Kaur community, and just as dramatic dancers praise another dancer, worship Krishna and Balarama. So this is tying in yesterday's verse also. As Krishna danced, some of the boys accompanied him by singing and others by playing flutes, hand cymbals, and buffalo horns, while others praised his dancing. Of course, we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is famous as Natasar, the king of dancers. So we see this dancing, this chanting and dancing. This dancing is not beginning with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is beginning with Krishna. Krishna is the original dancer, and it is simply expanding through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that everyone can join this dancing party. Actually, in a year, well, people are interested to go to a party to celebrate. But here we have this Krishna Consciousness movement. We are celebrating round-the-clock celebration. Prabhupada told us that in the early days. He said, you cannot find any point that you can say, Swamiji, this point is troublesome. He said, it is simply recreation, susukam. He said, you cannot find any point you can say, Swamiji, this is troublesome. So this is very, very sweet and wonderful atmosphere, pure Krishna bhakti. If we are striving to develop that pure devotional service, then that wonderful, wonderful ecstatic celebration, Lord Chaitanya's Nama Sankirtan world revolution, you see, we will live and taste that nectar every minute. It's amazing how the acharyas so minutely analyze these pastimes. That's how important they are. We were speaking yesterday about not skimming the surface, but going very deep. The acharyas are looking in such a detailed way with each and every word in this verse. See, you know, what kind of activities are being engaged in. So the point is that every single detail about Krishna, that can be meditated on with great depth, unlimited depth. Whether you meditate on the name of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the teachings of Krishna, there are millions and millions of ways that one can access Krishna. So, somehow or other, we have to find that way suitable for ourselves. Because each one of us have a big responsibility, and that is to get out of this material existence. It's really up to you. No one can do that for you. You have to do it. Your guru can do it for you. He can give you everything you need, but it comes down to it. You have to fly your own airplane. Time for that. So, as we engage our activities of Krishna consciousness, we should always be looking to see how can I become more and more purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. The multitude of activities that we have going on, they are, you know, we have many, many activities going on throughout the movement. These activities are for the purpose of keeping us engaged. We're not so pure we can just sit down and meditate on Krishna. If we do that, we'll simply sleep. Therefore, we require many, many activities to keep us very, very busy. So that just by even meditating on our service, to do our service very nicely, that will be Krishna consciousness. But while we're doing our service, we should also remember the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, the wonderful teachings of Krishna, the wonderful names of Krishna, the wonderful songs glorifying Krishna. All of these things are there. You want to enter deeper and deeper and deeper into this rich, supremely sweet Vaishnava culture that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Why? Because that will increase the quality of our service. We want to do our service perfectly. The more we can do it with quality, the more it will please Srila Prabhupada. So whatever we're doing, we want to improve that quality more and more and more. I remember when I was in Atlanta, Prabhupada was there. It's a very big festival. About 300 devotees came from all over North America. It's a big, exciting, like 4 or 5 days at Srila Prabhupada. And I remember one devotee was in some kirtan leader, book distribution, traveling some kirtan party leader. He raised his hand. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, what pleased you the most?" Everyone could see he was just waiting to hear book distribution. Because he was leading a book distribution party and he wanted, "Yes, I'm pleasing Prabhupada the best." Everyone could see, we all looked at it, could see it in his face. And where it was a hushed silence, I was waiting to see what Prabhupada would answer. He says, "You love Krishna. That will please him the most, if you love Krishna." So just being very active, and even the most important service that Prabhupada always emphasized, book distributions. Just being very active and doing so many activities, actually, is not what really pleases Srila Prabhupada the most. What pleases Srila Prabhupada very much is if you develop your love for Krishna. That's the ultimate pleasing. So the point is, whatever we're doing, we should do it very well, be very enthusiastic in doing our services given by our authority. You see. Like Prabhupada personally told me, he said, "You do whatever the temple president says without question, whether it's right or wrong." Prabhupada's very direct. Do whatever the temple president says. So we do our prescribed duties, we do them enthusiastically. For what purpose? To develop our love for Krishna. We're doing them for Krishna's pleasure, not that we wanted to get some material power in exchange for our service. Prabhupada explained, sometimes that happens. And we've seen it in our movement also. Someone has a motive for power and prestige when they do devotional service, and what happens? Sometimes they get that power and prestige, and then what happens? The rug gets pulled out from under them, they lose their position. Because their motive wasn't pure. Motive wasn't pure. As I remember my god brother one time told back in 1977, he made a very wise statement. He says, he was saying that if you have the desire for followers, you may get the followers, but you won't get Krishna. What's the use of having followers if you don't have Krishna? No use. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, "No, na dhanam, na janam, na sundariyam. No wealth, no women, no followers, not even moksha, not even liberation. I just want to serve you with love. That's all I want. Nothing else." So that is the actual position. That is beyond liberation. If you can simply serve Krishna with love, with no ulterior motive, then I mean loving, you know, worshiping him. This is the problem of the Hindus. They worship God, but they want something in return. You see? "Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk saree. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha. This is Prabhupada. We come to God, making a great show of devotion, bowing down, doing something. But we want something in return, put it in our own pocket. You see, this is Prabhupada. You may get that thing in the pocket. You may get that sari for your wife in that house by the bay out here, whatever it's called. You see? But you won't get Krishna, so what's the use of it? It has no value. Shama eva hi kevalam is simply useless labor to acquire all these things. Why? Nirmama, nothing is mine. You come naked, you leave naked. But there's one thing and one thing only that you can acquire and keep eternally, and that is to whatever extent you have learned how to love God. That you can keep. So that is the real meaning. This is called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There's two kinds of Krishna consciousness. You know that? There's the good kind and the bad kind. You know there's a bad Krishna consciousness? You know that? Bad Krishna consciousness. That's the Krishna consciousness of Kamsa. He wants to kill Krishna. There's anukul and pratikul. We want the favorable, the good Krishna consciousness, where you love Krishna, not where you hate Krishna. That is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. We want to develop our love for Krishna. That's why we're here. We want to develop our love for Krishna. So, to whatever extent we have developed that love for Krishna, to that extent we relish the sweetest nectar every minute, and to whatever extent we're still holding on to that rascal mentality of lust, anger and greed, to that extent we are suffering. So why are we so foolish that we continue to hold on to lust, anger and greed? Is that an intelligent thing? It's stupid that we do that, even though we've heard it a million times. We're like the dog, you throw a rock at him to shoo him away and he comes back again. So we have to learn. We have to come to the position. And let me simply develop my love for God without asking anything in return. I simply want to love Krishna. And then, in that state of mind, he will take the sweetest nectar ever. The whole world will be a playground to serve Krishna, to serve the mission of Lord Chaitanya, to serve the divine race, Asi Mukti Vedanta Jivandi Gosham Maharaj Prabhupada. In his mission, carrying out his Guru Maharaj's mission, who was carrying out Bhakti Vedanta Kuru's mission, etc., all the way back to Krishna. So, there's one popular question in this material world. What's in it for me? Everything is in it for you. If you dedicate your life fully to serve the, follow the instructions given by the divine grace, Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If you follow Prabhupada's instructions very carefully and very sincerely, then you'll be the happiest person. Absolutely the happiest person. Inconceivably happy. The nectar you will take. This is the gift that God has given us. Now we have to take. So we can ask now if there's any questions. Or if there's any objections. Yes, sir.
You mentioned that we shouldn't have any desires, right?
No material desires.
No material desires.
Spiritual desires we must have.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then you also said at the beginning of the class that Prabhupada, you read that Prabhupada said that a devotee who is Krishna conscious could aspire to rule the world.
That's a Yes, but that, it has to be, there can't be any mixture of material motives in there, otherwise, you know, it won't work. If someone is completely pure and simply wants to, out of love, wants to help people, such a person can aspire to the Prabhupada saying, he can aspire to the whole world.
So, is that practical though in one sense? Because it seems that we have a little difficulty organizing our own lives, what to think of ruling the world. So, probably more appropriate that we sort out our own affairs before we.
Well, it's an interesting question. Is Prabhupada's statement practical?
Yeah.
On some level, you can't say that Prabhupada isn't. We can't really say that Prabhupada has ever said anything that isn't practical. In one sense, we can't say that Prabhupada said something that isn't practical. But for it to be practical would require someone to be completely pure. And that's not a practical reality for us right now. Bottom line.
But we can still.
So, in that sense, it is not practical because we're not there. We're not there. We're not qualified. Prabhupada is qualified, but we are not. That's the practical reality. But Prabhupada wants us to become qualified. That's also a fact. So, that's why we have to humble ourselves before each other. In other words, just like yesterday, I came to your office and I said, "No, I just want to serve. I'm here, a traveling preacher. I just want to know how I can best serve you while I'm here, and your vision for preaching and all." Because that's the proper mood we have to be in. If I think that I'm an independent operator doing my own thing, that's contamination. Prabhupada didn't want that. But I have to understand, you're the appointed official head of our society, Prabhupada Society. You're Prabhupada's representative here in the Melbourne area. So whatever preaching I'm doing here, it has to be pleasing to you. You see, I'm just a servant. So that's the move. That's how that we actually, as collectively, we can, collectively we can do that. If we humble ourselves completely to each other. None of us individually are qualified to do that. Prabhupada is qualified, but none of us are qualified. But if we humble ourselves to the leaders that Prabhupada has given us, the system, GBC, temple presidents, and then within the temple, department heads, etc. And then there's also the initiating spiritual masters, sannyasis, you know, so many types of leaders we have in our society. If we humble ourselves and submit ourselves fully to the system that Prabhupada set up, then collectively we can do that. We can lead the world out of chaos, collectively. No one of us can do that. But collectively we can do that. But we have to understand what it really means to be humble. It's not a show like that one devotee who wrote Prabhupada. "Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen." Prabhupada replied, "You're not the most any. You're simply insignificant." So, the real meaning of being humble is to actually submit yourself to your leaders for rectification of your faults. That's known as being humble. It's like I see you here as my leader. You're Prabhupada's representative. So when I'm here, you're my leader. Any preaching I do here. So you correct me if I do anything wrong or say anything wrong. I submit myself to you for any way I need to be rectified. And how I conduct myself here, you rectify me. So that's the kind of... that's what we have. That's humility. We're willing to be corrected. "No, you're doing this wrong, you have to do it this way, not this way. Your attitude is wrong, you have a bad attitude, you have to change your attitude. The way you're talking is wrong, you have to change the way you're talking." And one agrees to that, "Yes, I accept it." This is what we, if we can learn to be very, very humble and accept the leadership and the guidance that Prabhupada has given us. He perfectly set up the system, governing body commission, temple presidents, sannyasis, traveling preachers are there. It's a wonderful system that Prabhupada set up that we can all become pure, and as collectively, as a society, we can actually lead the world.
The leaders should also be looking at cooperating with the devotees as well. Not that
yes, the leader, that's right. The leader has to, if the leader is not in the mood of, if the leader is not more humble, the leader himself has to feel himself the servant. Sincerely feel himself a loving servant of each and every person he's leading. Prabhupada in Vrindavan, you may remember from the tapes, he said that the spiritual master does not consider himself to be the spiritual master. He considers that his disciples are his spiritual masters.
Yeah.
So the leader, the person who is actually an effective Krishna conscious leader, he feels that he has so many masters that he has to serve. That is an effective leader. Someone doesn't think, yes, I am a leader, you do what I say. The effective leader thinks, I have to serve this person. I have to help this person be happy in Krishna consciousness. Help this person be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. The leader is just thinking of numbers. I got to expand more numbers, more money, more members. But he doesn't think about seeing that each and every devotee is happy, then he's failing. Even if he has big numbers, he's failing. Because those numbers won't matter. Prabhupada told us in the early days, back in 1971, when I joined the movement, we did the morning Bhagavatam class, the standard system of the Bhagavatam class without being introduced yet. And then Prabhupada started writing these letters. He said that he said, you simply keep adding more milk to the pot, then it will never become thick and sweet. He said, now you boil the milk until it becomes thick and sweet. It's like you make perfect. So the movement was expanding like anything at that point in this kind of history, the early 70s. It was taking off like a rocket. I mean, there every temple people were joining. Right and left, walking in the door, shaving up. It was incredible what was happening. But nobody knew what was going on also. It wasn't really good training, but philosophy. Nobody knew any Sanskrit verses. I mean, it's a lot of enthusiasm without much realization. So Prabhupada said, okay, now whatever devotees, the most important thing now is whatever devotees we have, train them very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So the most important, and that remains a fact, our most important duty is whatever members we have now for our society, our most important duty is to see that each and every member of the society is happily on the path, situated on the pathway back to home, back to God. You see? And if we do that, and if our leaders do this in a very qualitative way, then naturally the movement will expand and take off like a rocket. Because where else is this knowledge being given? How to achieve spiritual perfection. The other so-called gurus, swamis, yogis, is just pseudo-perfection. Focus. But like the Bhagavatam does, vimukti maninas, simply liberation of the mind only. You're not really getting liberated. It's only in the mind that they think they're getting enlightenment and liberation. This is the only place where we have the information necessary take people to the, all the way out of material contamination into the state of pure spiritual enlightenment, Krishna prema. Only Srila Prabhupada's books are giving the necessary information that one can actually achieve in a very practical way spiritual perfection. Any other questions? Comments? Anyone? Anything else? Yes.
Why
do
we have the propensity to forget Krishna?
Speak louder and clearer.
Why do we have the propensity to cheat ourselves and forget Krishna?
Yes, this question is sometimes asked. And the answer is actually given by Srila Prabhupada, I believe it was back in 1933 or something like that. Prabhupada gave an address to the Bombay chapter of the Gaudiya Math on the Vyasa Puja Day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in this lecture, Prabhupada mentioned the causeless unwillingness of the soul to surrender to Krishna. So that's what it is. It's called causeless unwillingness. So what to do with that causeless unwillingness? Well, there's another causeless thing, and that's called causeless mercy. So the only way we can get out of this state of causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna is to come to by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, getting the causeless mercy. Of course, philosophically we can discuss where from this, why do we want to cheat oneself? It really all boils down to, as we many times have explained, that love has to be voluntary, you cannot force love. So Krishna always gives us that choice to love him or to leave him. Leaving him means you're cheating yourself. That choice has to exist, otherwise, as we explained yesterday, just robots. We're simply robots. Who wants a robot? Is it any fun to have a robot friend, a robot spouse? No. There's nothing there. But if you have your associate who has free will to love you or leave you, then that's interesting. You understand? So, since we have that choice, we may misuse it and thus cheat ourselves. With Krishna, just as the tightrope walker has a net underneath in case he falls off the rope, Krishna has a safety net to catch us. This material world is actually a safety net. It's not that the living entity vanishes into oblivion, merges into the void, if he chooses not to serve Krishna. Continues to exist in a realm called, the penitentiary, birth, death, old age, and disease, which is meant to reform of his mistake.
How can we maintain our consistency?
Speak louder and clearer.
How can we maintain our consistency of the mind to just...
Which of mind? What's the mind?
Consistency.
Consistency, yes. This is an excellent question. The mind's nature is inconsistency. Chanchala, manas chanchalam, a flickering mind. Here, they're jumping and jumping like those monkeys in Vrindavan. jumping, monkey business. So, how do you make the mind chaste? You see, sati. The asati mind, unchaste mind, how to make it sati or chaste? That is a very, very important thing. So the mind requires training. You can take the heavy approach, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, beating the shoes 100 times in the morning, 100 times on the broomstick in the evening. Or you can take the soft approach also. Govinda Das, he gives the soft approach. My dear mind. You simply engage yourself in the sweet, wonderful, nectarian service of the unlimitedly wonderful son of Nanda Maharaj. So you see what works. You have your mind. Your body, you give that up automatically each lifetime. But that rascal mind has been carrying you from birth to birth to birth for millions and millions of lifetimes. So you have to experiment and see what works best. To bring your mind to the steady point, So it stays fixed in Krishna consciousness. Whatever is favorable for your Krishna consciousness, that you should accept, and whether it's unfavorable, you should reject. So each and every one of us has our own unique mental problems. And each and every one of us has to become an expert psychologist, psychiatrist, to cure our own mental problems. So you have to see what is, and we take help wherever we can get it, from God, brother, our associate, devotees, take help wherever we can get it. Because you really have to make your mind steady. Otherwise, it's a bucking bronco that keeps throwing you off the path. You have to tame that fucking bronco. That's the old system in Texas, you know. In the old days, for the open prairie, there was a wild horse running around. They would capture one horse and put him in the corral, but he wouldn't let anybody sit in the back, no way. But the expert cowboy, he would get on that horse and sit tightly. The horse would buck his rear legs and throw his legs, kicking cowboy off again and again. But finally the horse gets tired of fighting and says, "Alright, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, I will do." So you just have to bring your mind under control. That fucking bronco. You just have to be more determined to conquer the mind than the mind is determined not to be conquered. Your power of determination has to be more than the power of the mind. That's called spiritual energy. You have to connect spiritual energy through chanting, attentively around doing nice service, by taking shelter of the Vaishnava, by taking shelter of Guru, by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, you see. These things will empower you to bring that mind and make it a sati, chaste, consistently absorb in devotional service. So we're going over time, right? We get yanked off the asana. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.